Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News, and we are joined today by our friend Charles T. Hamilton. And man, we've got a lot to talk about. The NBA has suspended its season after Rudy Gobert tested positive for coronavirus before Utah's game Wednesday night. Now, there are reports that players have been instructed to self-quarantine until March 16th. That includes no practices, no team meetings, staying in your home city. Charles, there's a lot to digest here, but what to you is the biggest question or most interesting thing going forward?
Man, well, first, I'd really like to just rip Rudy Gobert a new one, but it seems somewhat inappropriate. But what an idiot. What an idiot. And it reminds me of, you know, people that I've talked to, whether, you know, regardless of age group, that have been flipping about COVID-19 and the coronavirus and that, you know, acting like it's not a big deal. And who knows how exactly he got it, but, you know, his little stunt of touching everyone's recorders, you know, who knows if he had it then or just whatever it is, just the way he handled it was awful. And I, you know, hopefully he's fine and hopefully he managed to not give it to anyone else besides, I guess, Donovan Mitchell, who apparently has it as well. Hopefully he's fine as well. But just, I mean, the dumbest thing I've ever seen, and it played out kind of exactly how you would have thought it would have played out.
There are reports already that Jazz teammates have been bothered over like the last week. Is that when he was touching all the reporters' microphones in a press conference? I mean, first of all, I would have thrown away my microphone. That's it.
I would have just left it another there, one on him.
Yeah, you can have that, Mike, Rudy. Like, congrats. Yeah. But even his teammates were like, dude, you're being very flippant about this. Like, way too cavalier about this entire situation. And those are reports that have been leaking out since then. I mean, this now is Rudy Gobert's legacy. No? I mean, this is it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is done. He is the guy who brought coronavirus to the NBA. Whether or not he was actually the first player to have coronavirus in the NBA doesn't even really matter. What matters is that he was the first confirmed case. The first game that was canceled due to a player having coronavirus was because he had it. And given the fact, given just how he has treated this entire situation, I know he went on Instagram and he apologized and whatever. He didn't have a choice. He had to do that. And I'm sure he feels bad about it right now, but you were immature in the moment and I don't care what kind of apology you gave. So this is his legacy for now on as the ultimate NBA buzzkill of all time.
I don't care if he wins Defensive Player of the Year every single year for the rest of his career. This is it. And look, you know, the NBA probably would have ended up postponing the season, at a certain point anyways, but it was Rudy Gobert's carelessness and just being a jerk, really, because even if younger people aren't in as much danger, you know, as older people are to get, you know, or for coronavirus to be fatal or, you know, bad or whatever the case may be. Again, we're like medical reporters now since there's no basketball. He was a jerk about it because he was being insensitive to the fact that it affects other people. And it, great Instagram apology. But one thing that pissed me off in his apology is like, I hope this, you know, gets people to take it more seriously. Like, dude, you're the one who wasn't taking it seriously.
Everyone else, and Donald Trump are the only people not taking it seriously right now.
Exactly. So, I mean, at least Rudy's attitude has changed towards it, but it was upsetting to see in the first place, and then to see exactly what happened is just almost predictable. And again, I hope everyone's okay, but man, what an idiot.
So now all these players are going to be self-quarantined until March 16th. And just sort of to rehash what that means, it means they have to stay in, they are being encouraged to stay in their homes. Team doctors are going to have to call them on a daily basis just to check in. They're being discouraged from leaving their home market. They can't go to the facility to practice or anything like that. That's going to make it really tough. And look, I know this is Locked On Warriors. The Warriors have nothing else to play for. I mean, the fact that they have the worst record in the league, I mean, it nothing changes really. I think if you're Golden State, well, there's one thing I do want to talk about that is important that they're going to be missing. But from a league-wide perspective, before we get to that point, this will dramatically affect the playoffs. This is going to dramatically affect the outcome of this season. I know that, you know, coronavirus is first and foremost. I get it. Like, I'm not disagreeing with anything, but, you know, let's talk about some basketball here because that's what we do. You are giving now possibly a very long break that could amount to more than a month potentially before maybe the start of the playoffs, if we even get to that point. But if you start the playoffs and guys are not in shape, I mean, you've got, you know, players like LeBron James, who I'm sure have a home gym and stuff like that. But there's a lot of players that don't have that. There are a lot of players who just live in apartments, right? There is now going to be sort of this gap of players who have and players who have not. And I am concerned that if you can't go to the facility and practice on all these things, that you're going to not be in basketball shape. And that sort of thing could really alter what happens in the postseason.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, also, let's say everything gets pushed back. What happens with the draft? I imagine the draft will get pushed back. You're not going to have the draft in the middle of the playoffs. So, you know, where does that go? And, you know, you mentioned it. Yeah, the Warriors, pretty much it doesn't matter too much for them. Season's basically over. But they are missing out on some evaluations, potentially Steph getting games, et cetera. But it's funny, you know, last week when the report came out about Steph having just the flu, it wasn't coronavirus, it was just the flu, people were kind of laughing like, oh, man, it's gotten to that point. It's like, yeah, it absolutely has, because now NBA players actually have it. And look, I think the NBA made the right decision, obviously, right now, to just shut down, suspend the season instead of trying to, oh, maybe if we play with no fans or essential – you know, just have essential employees there. It was the right call. And look, as you know, a basketball reporter yourself, a basketball fan of myself, sports fan, all the sports that are shutting it down, it's the right call. And just unprecedented times, man. It's pretty crazy. But one thing I did want to touch on was something that might come out of this and kind of seems like the perfect opportunity if this does happen. Mark Cuban, I think, mentioned, you know, there's a chance that they're playing into August as far as the playoffs and finals go. Me, I see that as the perfect opportunity then to permanently move back the start of the season where you're given, I mean, I forget who it was who mentioned it, but where you're pushing back the start of the season to say Christmas and you're giving the NFL their own time. And then the NBA can have its own time during the summer. And then we actually have NBA all throughout the summer. And we don't have that, you know, 2 month dead period where it's just baseball. No offense, baseball. I still enjoy it, but you know, it does get boring at times. So I think that's an opportunity that may happen. Again, the seriousness of the situation is all that really matters, but we are a basketball podcast and you know, that's basketball related. That's something that could happen.
It's an interesting idea. I've never actually been a fan of the, you know, around Christmas start because I feel like you're losing almost, like you're losing then a moment. You know, you have obviously opening day is just a moment because it is opening day, and then you also have the Christmas games. It would be like if the NFL started their season on Thanksgiving, you're losing out on opening weekend and then the Thanksgiving thing. So
let's have, what about starting like December 1st, you know, something like that, I mean, where you are still pushing the season back.
Yeah, that's fine. And maybe like, look, it is interesting to think about what the long-term effects of this are going to be, because if you have to postpone an entire season, you know, if you have to postpone an entire postseason and then you're postponing NBA Summer League and then you got to do all this, then yeah, maybe that's what happens. Or do you just do sort of like a lottery or a lockout shortened type of season. So now, but now we're looking at two shortened seasons in a row. So I don't know. I do think that the NBA prefers to, and look, there's not going to be an ideal situation. There's not going to be a perfect outcome at this point, but I think that the NBA would really push for doing what they can to get to their scheduled endpoint this year. Whether that is, all right, the rest of the regular season's over, let's just start right away in the playoffs. Maybe you have to even shorten the playoffs. Maybe you have to go from 7-game series to 5-game series. Maybe you have to just lop off the first round, or you kind of go to the first round to a 5-game, a best of 5, or something like that, where or you're condensing, you know, the schedules where you're not getting those 2 days off at a time sometimes. And Maybe you're just playing them in a neutral site. Like, I don't know. I do think that the NBA will probably go to whatever extent they can to get to their scheduled endpoint this year, because they don't want to figure all this stuff out. Like, you don't want to, you know, reschedule what NBA season is based on coronavirus, right? You want to put a lot of time and thought into that. And if we know Adam Silver, that's the sort of person he is.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, he's done a great job, pretty much with every obstacle he's faced, in his time as commissioner. And he's done a great job here, and I, you know, expect him to make the right decisions, because that's what he's done. So, I mean, the NBA is in the right hands right now for sure.
So let's talk a little bit about that evaluation period, because that's really key. If the Warriors lose out on anything right now, it's the fact that they don't have 17 more games to look at Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins together. They don't have any time. Like, they will have played 0 minutes this season with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Andrew Wiggins on the floor together. That is substantial. I know that there's everything was going to be a small sample size regardless, but it's one thing to go from small sample size to no sample size, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's – I mean, that is definitely one of the major knocks. On top of it, it's, you know, a longer look at Michael Mulder, et cetera. But, yeah, the biggest part is the fact that you're not seeing three of your big four, so to speak, play together, like a 1 second, like you said. And – again, who knows if they would have found the, you know, perfect chemistry or whatever. But the bottom line is those are minutes that they're not going to be getting, and they won't get until next season starts, whenever that is. So that's the major part. Again, Michael Mulder, I love that they, you know, said forget another 2 day. Here's a multi-year deal, non-guaranteed next year. So he's it's basically a team option if they want to keep him. And we'll see. I've loved the way he played. It's too bad he came out and, you know, had a clunker in his first game after signing the deal. But he was shooting, you know, if you get rid of that first game where I give him kind of a gimme, his first NBA game where he went 0-for-5, he was, you know, 40%+ from three, solid defensively, more athletic than you would have expected. Mm-hmm. And they might have found something. They really might have. Or, you know, with the way it's set up, maybe they didn't. Maybe he just had a nice couple games and no harm, no foul, and they can cut him in the offseason. But I like him a lot. And, you know, I've talked about it with you for a long time. For years I've talked about it, you know, three-point shooting. And they might have actually found a three-point shooter to come off the bench that they've been lacking for this entire dynasty run, basically.
And now they're missing out on the opportunity to go find more of those guys. Like, what do you make of Dragan Bender? What do you make of all these other players? I mean, there was going to – like, Bender's 10-day contract was going to be set to expire pretty soon. That was an opportunity to go find another player. And for – look, we're talking about the bottom of the roster right now, but this is probably the most important offseason of Bob Myers' tenure coming up. More important than the Kevin Durant one, more important than anything. This is going to determine – if the Warriors can vault back into contention next season, and with your big three all 30 years old or older, that matters, right? Every year now matters for them. And that made this lost season hard enough for that organization. And not only do you miss out on the sample size here, but look across this, like, all the NCAA men's basketball tournaments have been canceled. March Madness has been canceled. I don't know what you do if you are an NBA scout. And the draft is going to happen. You don't postpone – like, they're not going to just delay the draft and then just have everybody try to go in next year. The draft will happen, and it's going to happen with the most limited amount of information that we've ever had in an NBA draft. That is not hyperbole. That is not an opinion. That is a fact. And so if you're the Warriors and you have the worst record in the league and a darn good shot at landing the number one pick, you now have to make this number one pick with less information than any other team has ever had to make a number one pick.
Yeah, no, it's you hope they've done their scouting throughout the entire year and can, you know, rely on their scouting from earlier this season. But yeah, you nailed it. There's going to be less information than ever before. We'll see what happens and the developments that happen moving forward, where maybe we get back to some sort of normalcy where they will have visits and things like that. But there's a chance they won't. I mean, the NFL draft is coming up next month, and they're pretty much canceling all scheduled visits with their players. So they're in a similar situation where, you know, they're just going to have to rely on what they've done before.
If you've been a listener to this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all of the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. but you may not know that Locked On Warriors is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Warriors fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Warriors fans who are well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you.
Bringing up the draft, I want to ask you, you know, just because I'm a big draft guy and I'm flipping back and forth here where they have Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, obviously. Love what Marquise Chris has done. Great find. But how do you feel about drafting a guy like James Wiseman that early, whether it's top three, top five, wherever they find their pick? I know I'm kind of changing gears here, but it's an opinion that a lot of people are split on as far as the center position goes. And it just seems like a perfect fit considering they don't have a long-term center. But then again, the NBA is changing. I just want to get your opinion on that, man.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to be interested in James Wiseman. And I personally, I think that you just don't draft a center unless it's a shoe-in type of, you know, transformational Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns type guy at the top of the draft. James Wiseman just doesn't seem like that to me. Even a DeAndre Ayton, he's kind of good for Phoenix, but I wouldn't take that. I would rather get the wing player. And I think the Warriors in general feel the same way. But more importantly, I don't think they want to spend the money that comes with drafting that player at the, in, you know, with the first or second pick overall. I mean, we're talking about over the scale of the rookie contract, you're going from paying that player $10 million a year to $14 million a year. And the Warriors have never wanted to pay their centers. I mean, like they'll go get a big name. They'll go get DeMarcus Cousins, but they can go get DeMarcus Cousins because he's, you know, coming in at, you know, close to the veteran minimum. I just don't see them wanting to spend, you know, 10 plus million on James Wiseman when they really kind of view that position as a bullpen position. And they like to rotate guys in situations. You know, you put out Kevon Looney in defensive situations where you need a switchable, versatile center. You have Marquise Chris to be your lob threat and your ball skill player. I think they're going to add one more traditional type of big. Maybe they add another younger type of project at center, but I don't really see it with Wiseman unless the Warriors are completely convinced that he's a transformational type player. And the information that I have says that they don't view him that way.
Yeah. That's a good point about the salaries too. You know, they don't pay their centers that much. Here's a question though. Because no, he's not a Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis skilled type of big, but they do talk about defensively his potential. If you, and I know there's no way to know, but let's say, you know, he's going to become Rudy Gobert, that type of player, a defensive player of the year.
And there's no
player.
Way to take him because he's just going to bring the play to the NBA. Why would
That's a good point. That's another good point. But is that still a level of player that you still wouldn't want to take that high? Because that's something I'm torn on. Some of the write-ups are that, you know, his defensive potential is that high. And it's like, well, if he's going to be that good, maybe, maybe not. But I agree with you that I need a more skilled player like a Cat or an Anthony Davis, but then, right. You know, I don't know.
Well, the
DPOY
Warriors
have, potential.
The Warriors have seen the limits of Rudy Gobert in the playoffs. And if you look at the D'Angelo Russell trade, you took a downgrade in player, right? Like Andrew Wiggins is not as good a player in a vacuum as D'Angelo Russell. I don't think it's as far away as I initially had thought, but I still think D'Angelo Russell in a vacuum is better at basketball than Andrew Wiggins is. But they do view even having a step back in talent. They think that their ceiling is still higher with Andrew Wiggins because of the fit and because of how he just works with Steph and Clay and all these things. And then what he could do potentially defensively as a versatile defender where you're taking a step back offensively. But I think they may see something similar with Wiseman where, okay, could he be this great regular season guy? Sure. But in the playoffs, we've seen players who are not mobile enough get consistently run off the floor. And I just don't think that they looked at that with D'Angelo Russell, especially the fit with him and Steph in the backcourt. And they've determined, you know, we're not going to take anything off the table defensively. And I think if you have Wiseman, unless he's this, you know, sort of peak Kevon Looney switchable type of defender, he does take something off the table and he limits what they can do from a versatility standpoint. I'm obviously not a Wiseman guy.
No, for sure. And just the fact that he's a center and like that would complete the starting five is the only thing that really intrigues me. You know, again, I only watched however many games he played this year, and then he decided to sit out. The thing is, it's so convoluted at the top as far as, you know, there's no Luka, there's no Zion.
That's right.
Clear-cut number one guy. So unless they fall in love with someone, I wouldn't be surprised to see him trade down, you know, not far, but similar to what Atlanta did with Dallas, you know, the Luka Trey thing, or wasn't it Boston traded down from one and got Tatum at three, I think. So something like that where they might be able to get more assets. Like there's one wing that I love, but he's probably somewhere in the teens, Sadiq Bey out of Nova, who is a plug-and-play 3-and-D guy. But that's probably what he's going to be most of his career, is a 3-and-D guy. But that would be huge for the Warriors to get one of those instead of maybe gambling on someone who, oh, he could be a superstar or could be a complete bust. So it's interesting. I'm a big draft guy and I've been following it all year. And again, it's far away, even if it happens when it's scheduled to, and probably even farther away now because of what's going on in the NBA.
I think that they're going to prioritize versatility, a wing. If you can add depth at that position, because they just lost so much, man. I mean, have you been watching Anthony Edwards? Do you have an opinion on him?
He just seems like he's been inefficient, basically. He's a scorer, and he's got size. He's got NBA size immediately at, you know, what, 6'4", 220, but he's just been inefficient. And I always – look, maybe guys prove me wrong, but I always have trouble seeing a guy who doesn't shoot well from three in college expecting them to shoot well in the pros. But, again, he's still ranked – top amongst, you know, most draft analysts who I defer to them. They do know more than me for sure, but I'm not a big fan of his.
Yeah, I honestly don't know who I'm a fan of, but look, now I got nothing but time to go watch some film. So look, that wraps up this edition of Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Thanks for listening.